up to the Mishnah of Reb Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir Omer, have a ma'at esek, or memaid be'esek, va'asog ba'torah, ushval ruach b'fnei choladim. V'im bataltu men ha'torah yesh lo b'telem harbei kenegdoch, v'im amaltu ba'torah yesh lo socha harbei litenoch. What does it mean to be memait or ma'at esek v'asok b'torah? The Rambam writes, Oma ham'et b'mischar v'hasmei b'torah. So the Chlora indicated here in the words of Rav Meir is the following. If you take a look in the Rambam, Perek Aleph of Hilchos Talmud Torah, so in Halacha Yud Aleph, the Rambam quotes the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin says, "V'shinantam levanecha, al tikre v'shinantam ela v'shilashtam." Chai v'adam l'shalesh, shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'talmud. In allocating one's time to Talmud Torah, so one has to address three different areas within Talmud Torah: Tanakh, Halacha, and everything else. Everything else that constitute mitzvahs Talmud Torah. And that's what the Rambam quotes here in Parak Aleph Halacha Yud Aleph. Chayav l'shalish es zman l'midaso. For the Rambam, it actually translates into betchilas limudo into three equal parts. Shlish b'torah shebachsav, shlish b'torah shebalpesh, shlish yavin v'yaskel achuz davim merishiso, v'yotzi davim midava, v'yedam edava ledava, v'yadim emidah shatan udashas bahen, ad sheyeda hechi ike amidas, v'hech yotzi ha'osa v'amuta, v'chayotzei bahen midvarim shalom m'pi yeshmua. V'inyan zeh o'nikka talmud. Now the Rambam says, Ketzet, let me give you a for instance. Hoya bal umnus. Person is an artisan. Let's say he's a shoemaker. Osa should be divided equally. So what's fascinating here in the Rambam, quite extraordinary when you think about it, is that the Rambam indicates that the way a person arrives at how many hours a day he has to learn is sort of almost by default what's left over from the amount of time he has to devote to his panos. Right? Now you also give him locha shalosh hours by yom, which then after having allotted the necessary amount of time for sleep and for eating and for hygiene, etc. So that leaves Teisha Shos to learn. A person is mechuyav to make hishtadlus for panosa. So then, memela, the amount of time he'll have to learn on a daily basis is extraordinary, but is actually dictated by how much time remains after the hishtadlus for panosa. And the chora, you see that now in Mishnah as well, right? The sequence of having ma'at esek v'asok b'torah, so the Meir is telling us, hayos, that this is the case, a person has to exercise whatever discretion he has that the hishtadlus for panosa should leave more time for Talmud Torah. Heyos, that what's going to determine the amount of time a person has for Talmud Torah is what remains after the Hoya Osek B'Malacha. The way the Rambam arrives at the figure of nine is what's left over after three. Hoya Osek B'Malacha Shal Shal B'Yom B'Torah Teish. So that's, you see that in this Mishnah Rabbeinu, right? Being the Ma'id B'Esek, And then that will allow you to have more time to be Osek Batara. Now, it's clear that as important and overriding a consideration as it is to have more time to learn, it's clear that there are other considerations that should be factored in when a person identifies what he's going to do for Parnassa. But the mayor's exhortation, the mayor's directive remains true regardless, because often, even within the same field, a person has the discretion that will determine how much time he has to spend on Parnassa and how much time will remain. So a person can let's say for argument's sake that after everything's been considered, so a person arrives at the correct decision that he should be a lawyer. What that entails practically depends upon which city the person will live in. In some cities, to be a lawyer will necessitate longer, more demanding hours. And in other cities, it involves a very different life-work balance. So the mayor says, having made by Asak, that a person should recognize how much discretionary say he has in his pursuit of Parnassa. Sometimes a person's kochos, abilities, and opportunities allow him to choose either of different fields. And again, let's assume for the moment, for argument's sake, for purposes of illustration, that they are equal in other respects. So a person is supposed to, again, recognize his discretionary say and discretionary opportunity to be memayed by Asek and take advantage of that so as to allow the Asok Batara. Then the Mishnah continues. It's strange that the Mishnah Ushfal ruach b'fnei kol adam v'im batalta min ha-Torah yesh lo batalim harbe kenegdach. Now, it's clearly the case that not every Mishnah in Ovis has to be understood that the Tana is speaking only about one theme. The Tanoim are entitled to have something to say about two different topics and to use their mission and others to convey, to address two topics, two themes. So Yitachin Ma'od, that Rav Meir is being Mizaris in Talmud Torah, and Rav Meir is also being Mizaris in terms of Midos. But so that's not difficult at all. But what's l'chore difficult is then, so Rav Meir should have first finished talking about Talmud Torah and then switched. So he begins with Talmud Torah, talks about having shval ruach b'fnei kol adam, and then goes back to Talmud Torah. So it's clear contextually that when Rav Meir says to be shval ruach b'fnei kol adam, clearly he's talking about that in context of Talmud Torah. The need for shiflas haruach in context of Talmud Torah. The pshat. Reb Chaim Volozhiner explains in his parish in Pirkei Avos in Ruach Chaim, in Moshe Kibbal Torah Misinai, Mosar LeYeshua, Yeshua LeZkenim, he shows how every link in the Masorah, that individual or that group excelled they stood out in terms of their midas ha'anava, their midas ha'shiflus. Moshe kibel Torah miSinai is to be correlated with Vayish Moshe anav ma'od mikol adam mashal panei adam. Umasar leYeshua is to be correlated with Yeshua ben Nun Na'al or Yomish Mitocha Oel, the complete hispatlus that Yeshua had before Moshe Rabbeinu. Chazal described in the Medrash that Yeshua used to be Mesadah the Safsolim. It wasn't just that Yeshua was there, you know, listening to every shir, every gem, every word of Torah that came out of Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth. No, he was the Shamas. He used to be Masada, he used to arrange the benches when Moshe Rabbeinu was going to give a shir. Yeshua ben Nun had complete his batlus. And that's why he emerges as Umasar Yeshua, as the next link in the Shalshalos HaKabbalah. V'nafshi ke'ofal ha'kol tiyah, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner. And then Psach Libi B'Sar HaSachar. A person is only positioned for the Bakosha Psach Libi B'Sar HaSachar on the heels of Nafshi Ke'ofel HaKol Tiyah. And in L'chari, it's clear, right, that that's the Pshat in our Mishnah as well. But that's what Reb Meir's Shvaruch B'Fnei Kol Adam isn't simply an exhortation in terms of Midos Tavos, that obviously is that, independent of any connection to Talmud Torah. But it's clear contextually that what Rav Meir is saying is that this is what the Hisaskus B'Torah demands. But what does it mean, Vim Bataltim and Atara Yesh Lo, right? The Lo referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, him with a capital H. In Bataltim and Atara Yesh Lo B'Telim Harbe Kenegdoch, Vim Amalta B'Tara Yesh Lo Socher Harbe Liten Locha. So it means what the Rambam is explains actually uncharacteristically at some length in Perek Tes of Hilchos Tshuva. Rambam Perek Tes of Hilchos Tshuva addresses the question which engages so many of the Mefarshim of why is the Torah speak of and the Torah is talking about things that happen in Olam Hazeh. So there are different ways of asking the question because there are different forms of the question. The form of the question that the Rambam addresses is, Hayos me'acha shenoda here in Perek Tes of Hilchos Tshuva, shemantin schoren shel mitzvos, v'hatova sheniska lo im shamanu derech Hashem akos v'atar hi chayi Olam Hazeh. Schar b'hayal malaka. Schar is an olam haba. So what in b'chokosai tishma v'nasati gishmechem b'itam v'nas na'aretz yivula, what's that all about if schar is an olam haba? And similarly, v'hanukam shenokmim min ha'roshoyim she'ozvo ochos ha'tzarek ha'ksuvos b'ator hi ha'kais. And the ultimate punishment is also not in olam haza. The ultimate punishment, achman al-tzan, is also in Olam Haba. So what is the Torah speaking of when it describes the cause and effect of in b'chokos et elechu v'nasati es habrocha shetishmu v'hakol in lo sishmu? So the Rambam says, the Rambam explains as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nosan lanu Torah zo etz ha'chaim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. Torah is the tree of life, meaning the source of life. V'chol ha'osa kol ha'kosuba v'yodo deya gemura nachona zo chiba l'chai olam haba l'fi godol masa v'godol chachmasa hu zo chiba. Torah and Torah alone is the source of life. So therefore, to the degree that a person is Mekayim Mitzvah HaTorah, learns Chochmas HaTorah, so to that degree, he has Chayim. He has Chayim Nitzchayim. He has eternal life. Now, V'hiftichonu b'Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees us in the Torah, Shem Nasa Osa B'Simcha U'B'Tuvas Nefesh, U'B'Tovas Nefesh, V'Nege B'Chochmas HaTomid, Sheyosim Mimenu Kol Hadvam Hamonim Osanu Milas Osa. Kadosh Baruch Hu promises that if we'll fulfill mitzvahs haTorah b'simcha, we'll constantly be delving into Chochmas haTorah, so then he'll remove all impediments, kegon choli milchama v'rav chayitzei b'hat. And on the contrary, v'yashpir lanu kol haTorah v'samachaskim es yadeinu la'asos es kol haTorah. He'll provide conducive circumstances for learning and living Torah. All of that positions us kadesh niska l'chayi olam haba. On the other hand, v'chein hodiyanu b'Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also informs us Shem Nazov HaTorah Midatenu V'Nasek B'Havlei Azman, that if we'll choose, Rachman Litzlan, to abandon Torah, to turn our backs, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remove that support system, and on the contrary, he'll maybe Aleinu Kol HaRos Hamon Asanu Min Liknos Olam Haba. So the moshel is as follows. Imagine you have a cleaning lady coming, and she's going to spend the day cleaning your house. So, okay, there's an hourly wage or a daily wage that you pay. But then the arrangement is that it's understood that in addition, you also provide lunch and car fare, covered transportation expenses. Okay. So she puts in the honest day's work and you gave her the lunch. And then at the end of the day, so you don't deduct the cost of the lunch from her wages. If she's getting paid $20 an hour and the lunch you prepared cost $5-$10, you don't deduct that. No, that was something to facilitate her putting in the day's work. And then you pay her wages for the day's work. What happens if she shows up 9 o'clock in the morning and she's busy all morning on her phone and isn't doing any work? And then at 12:30, sits herself down at the table expecting lunch. So you're not going to give her the lunch. You're going to tell her the lunch is to help you, to facilitate you putting in the day's work. You're not putting in the day's work. You don't get the lunch. And I'm not going to give you the transportation expenses to go back and forth because you're not doing the job that you were supposed to do. So what happens in Olam Hazeh is not the schar. What happens in Olam Hazeh is, do we get the lunch and the car fare? Or do we not get the lunch and not get the coffee and then have to go scrummaging around to find some food to eat for lunch? So that's what Reb Meir says as well. Reb Meir says, "In batalta min haTorah, yesh lo betelim habe kenegdach." Says the Rambam, "Ve'inyan betelim habe kenegdach sheyesham dvarim habe shehem betelim mitzrichem mishe yisasek b'hem." There are lots of things that need to be attended to. If you're not going to preoccupy yourself with Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see to it that we're preoccupied with something else. Tshuva meisim tovim ketris lefnei haparonos. The first half of this Mishnah, again, follows up on the previous. What does a praklit mean? So the Rambam says, a praklit who isha beinayim, a person who is an intermediary, a person who intercedes. Ha'omei la'odin lefnei ha'melech, who appears on his behalf before the king, lahamlitz tov, to recommend good for him, umatir bado, and to lobby for him, to petition on his behalf. Katego, on the contrary, hepech ze, is the opposite. V'hu ha'malshin al'odim etzal ha'melech, u'mishtad al'abdo. He's the person who comes and is acting as a prosecutor. So what's Rebbe Lezman Yaakov saying? Lezman Yaakov is saying that above and beyond the fact that when a person does a mitzvah, so he's going to be rewarded, and Rachman al-Tzlan and Aveira without tshuva, so the person will be punished. But beyond that, there's a significance and an importance beyond that in everything we do. Every time a person does a mitzvah, it's not only that, as it were, a person is now going to receive schar for that mitzvah, but it's also that mitzvah lobbies for him, as it were, to say, look, Ribbono Shel Olam, look what he's using the bracha of life and the brachos of life. Look what he's doing with his time. So give him more of the brachos. Every mitzvah the person does, therefore, lobbies, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It intercedes on his behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see, he has time. He sits down. He learns a pasuk chumash. He does a chesed. He's ozek b'tzarkei tzibur. This is a person we need to support. This is a person who needs to be given more opportunities. A person needs to have more time, because look what he does with his time. Rachman al-Tzlan, a person is over avera achas, so besides whatever Rachman al-Tzlan liability, culpability, there is associated with that avera kshela atzma, but it also serves as a category. Look what he does when he has time on his hands. Look how he abuses the gift and opportunity of life. Tshuva meisim tovim ki tris lefnei ha'paronos. Tris is a shield. So what does the Rambam say? Va'omar, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, shehatshuva la'achar meisim ra'im, o meisim tovim me'ikora, kol echad mishnei ha'onyanim alol monim eschalos ha'paronios v'ha'asonos v'odam. So how do we, what's the relationship between this and between the Gemara in Yuma with the Chilukei Kapara of Rabbi Yishmael? Right? Rabbi Yishmael says that if a person does an essay and does tshuva, is lo zoz misham achamachalom yet. A person is over a regular lo sasai, but also tshuva is tshuva tol of Yom Kippur machaper. A person is over on chamuros, but mezid, he's over on Chayvei Krisus and Mrs. Bezdin, so then Rachman al-Tzlan, so then Tshuva and Yom HaKippurim Tolim and Yisurim are gom min ha-sakapara. So Rabbi Shmuel doesn't talk about Maisim Tovim in terms of the Chiluk HaKapara. So how do we sort of integrate these two? So l'chora, it's clear that there's two different ideas here. The Rambam quotes this as well as the Mishnah of Mitzrayim. If you take a look at the beginning of Parag Vav in Hilchos Tshuva, so Parag Vav Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says around three lines into the Halacha. The Rambam says, "Bizman she'adam echad o anshe medina chotem ve'osa achote chet she'osa midaito u'birtzono." With his Bechir Chavshas, royally he parim mimenu. The person deserves to incur punishment. Ba'akadosh Baruch Hu yodeh hechifa. Meaning, royally he parim mimenu, that we can understand also. Right? Royally is something which mitzad asvara is something that's clear to us. So that we can understand. What we cannot know on our own is what form that Puranas should take. That's Davka Kodesh Baruch Hu Yodei Hech Yifa. A person is never in a position to know how, when Puranas should be meted out. Again, unless it's Bezdin who have been given a mitzvah in the Torah, that if A, then do B. Yesh chet shadin nosen shenefaran mimena chet ob olam hazeh begufo ob mamona ob bevan vektanim. Yesh chet shadin nosen shenefaran mimena olam haba. Yesh chet shenefaran mimena olam hazeh velo olam haba. And only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in a position to know what's what. Says the Ram Halacha Beis. B'med v'am amurim b'zman shalo osa tshuva. Avalam osa tshuva ha-tshuva kitris lefne ha-paranus. Right, so that's our mission, right? Then im osa tshuva ha-tshuva kitris lefne ha-paranus. So that's a very different, again, just to indicate, doesn't really clarify yet because we're not understanding, but just to indicate that we're talking about something distinct. If you compare this to the Lashon HaRambam at the end of Perek Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva, Halacha Daled, if you take a look in Aleph Daled in Tshuva Rabbah, say, Afal Pisha HaTshuva Mechaperes Al HaKol V'Atzmo Shayom Mekpum Mechaper Yesh HaVeru Shein Meskapin B'Shaitan. Repent, wayward children. And I'll heal you. So here the Rambam speaks about kapara, about tshuva being mechaperis, about tshuva positioning a person to get mechila. And in our Mishnah and in our halacha and paragraph, the Rambam is talking about a tris, about a shield. And he's not talking about kapara, he's talking about a shield. So there's one question of, how does a person gain kapara? And another is, how is a person protected from his liability until he gains that kapara? Our mission is talking about the latter. Our mission is, it just so happens that tshuva is featured in both. But our Mishnah is talking about the latter of the two, not how, what's the process of kapara, but how is a person protected, at least for a while that kapara or until that kapara happens. And that's why Meisim Tovim, it's no stira. The Meisim Tovim is not part of the kapara, but Meisim Tovim do act as the tris. Further indication that our Mishnah, when it's talking about a tris, a shield, is not talking about kapara, is the fact that the Rambam says we're talking about Meisim Tovim that the person did before he was chote. A person can't make a down payment on kapara. A person can't say, I know tomorrow I'm going to be chote, so let me make a down payment today on that kapara. There's no such thing, right? There's no such thing as a down payment on kapara, because a chet is never supposed to happen. So a person, you can go to the grocery store, and at the beginning of the month, you can give the chenveni $500, and then all month when you buy your groceries, so then he's just deducting that from what you've prepaid. So you can prepay a grocery bill. You can't make a down payment on kapara. So what does the Rambam mean when he says that the Meisim Tovim we're talking about, which are a tris, are Meisim Tovim before, that the person did before the chet? Because the Rambam is not talking about kapara here. The Rambam is talking about what will shield a person pending the kapara. Tshuva plays a role in both. Meisim Tovim are not mentioned, according to the Rambam, they're not literally mentioned in Rabbi Yishmael's Chilukei Kapara. Okay, that's the pshat. Rabbi Yochanan asand la'omek kol knisa o kol knesia shei l'shem shemayim sofa l'eskayim v'she'enu l'shem shemayim ein sofa l'eskayim. The Rambam doesn't comment on our Mishnah. Rabbi Yonah has as follows: Rabbi Yochanan asand la omer kol knesiya shehi l'shem shamayim sofa l'skayim. What does that mean? The Torah l'maisim tovim nikres knesiya shehi l'shem shamayim. V'she'ena l'shem shamayim ein sofa l'hiskayim kishem miskabsin l'histarer ze al ze u'miskabden kol echad al chavera. So here's the pshat, Rabbi Yosef. Knesia means when there's a gathering. When people gather together, and instead of just functioning as individuals, so they form a collective. That's what a knesia is. They form a collective. Now, in general, where do you find a stipulation of L'shem Shemayim? L'shem Shemayim should optimally define and motivate and frame everything we do. But me'idach gisa lo'olim yazik odom tov mitzvos afil shalo l'shma, shemitoch shalo l'shma bo l'shma. There's value even when it's not L'shem Shemayim. And yet, in some cases, we stipulate that L'shem Shemayim is indispensable. So one of the klolim, lav davka, the exclusive, all-encompassing klal, but one of the klolim is as follows. Let's say, amachlokes, shehi L'shem Shemayim, is also sofa l'hiskayim. And amachlokes, she'ena L'shem Shemayim, is ein sofa l'hiskayim. There too, the stipulation is it has to be L'shem Shemayim. Why is that? Whenever you have something which intrinsically is either usually a bad idea or at the very least problematic, machlokes generally is a bad idea. For Shammai and Hillel to argue over Pshat and the Posuk, L'shem Shemayim, because they want to know what the Baruch Hu said in the Torah, is a wonderful idea. But Machlokas inherently, Ruba de Ruba, the overwhelming majority of the time, Machlokas is not a good thing. For Machlokas to be a force for the good, to be something good and laudatory, it has to be L'shem Shemayim. It has to be framed and defined and motivated L'shem Shemayim. So this Mishnah is telling us, is offering a remarkable insight. There's something very problematic in forming a collective. We just take it for granted, right? We live in that type of context all the time. But philosophically, there's something very, very problematic. What's problematic with a knesia? Whenever you have a collective, so then inevitably, you have a city, you need a mayor, you need city councilmen, you're going to need assemblymen, you have a country, you're going to need a president or a king, or a president who thinks he's a king or something. you're gonna, the very minute you have a kinesia, so it's gonna involve, there's gonna be srara involved. There are gonna be differences in terms of people's place within that collective. And that's something which is fundamentally problematic. Not insurmountably so, so that even L'shem Shamayim it isn't appropriate, but it is fundamentally problematic that one person should have the powers of a governor, that one person should have the powers of the president, that 100 people should have the power of senators, is fundamentally problematic, even if they're democratically elected. It's fundamentally problematic. Again, not insurmountably so, but it needs to be framed and motivated and implemented L'shem Shamayim in order to overcome that problem. So a kinesia she'ena L'shem Shamayim, where then what happens is people enjoy the srara echad al chavera. People enjoy the fact that, oh, within this kinesia, I have a very, very mechubedik position, which by definition, if there weren't a kinesia, I couldn't. It would just be every person would be only in his own reshus hayochid. So that requires a kavana l'shem shamayim. We have to try whenever we venture out of our own dalet amos. We have to try that it shouldn't be out of any enjoyment. It shouldn't be lehis tarer. It shouldn't be lehis kabed. But it should be l'shem shamayim. Rebbe Lazar Omer, Yichvod Talmidcha Chavev Alecha Kichvod Chavercha Ukvod Chavercha Kamar Rabcha Umar Rabcha Kamar Shammai. There's actually a Gevald Gechidish here within this Mishnah, but maybe to sort of help us realize it and to amplify it, let's take a look. If you have a Sefer Mitzvah for a minute, take a look at Mitzvah's essay, Reish Test 209. The mitzvah reish test. He should tzivanu l'chaber ha-chachomim v'lokom mipneihem u'l'gadel osam. V'hu omer yizborach mipnei seva tokom v'hadarta p'nei zoken. V'loshen sifra v'hadarta kima sheyesh b'hidu. V'kvo yizboru mishpnei mitzvah zel v'parag rishon mikidushin. Veda shem hayos mitzvah zo mechuyeves la'anoshim kulam bechlau, kloma l'chaber ha'chachamim. On one level, this mitzvah is uniform in the sense that everyone has the identical obligation to be mechaber chacham, afilu chacham l'chacham ha'shavu lo b'chochba. Chachamim even, it's not because of the superiority of the chacham necessarily. No, one chacham is mechubad, is mechuyav to be mechaber and not a chacham, even though they're equals. Kemosha biyavu ba'omim talmidei chacham shebebavel omim zem neizet. That alongside that uniform component of the mitzvah, sheyesh b'kibud dvarim miyuchadim v'nosafim al hatalmid. V'zeh ki kvod hatalmid is rabo yesh bo tosefes gedola al hakibud shul chayev l'chol chacham v'yischayev l'im hakibud hamora. There is a non-uniform aspect of the mitzvah, which is the additional chiyuv, which is incumbent upon a Talmud vis-a-vis Rabbah. So there's the uniform aspect of the mitzvah vis-a-vis any chacham, lav davka that the chacham is our Rebbe, lav davka that he's even more of a chacham than the other person. There's a mitzvah called chacham. But then there's another aspect to this mitzvah, which is dafka, which is not uniform, which is dafka between a Talmud and a Rebbe. That in addition to the kovid owed to any chacham, to rabbo, there's mora. The Rambam goes on to give us many of the applications of this. And then he says, ubibiyur omru, around 4.5 lines from the end of the mitzvah, Rabbi say, if you're looking in, ubibiyur omru, mora rabcha kamar shamayim, our Mishnah. V'zeh kulo lokuach b'raya mehiyos hakosuv mitzaveh l'chaber hachachomim v'ha'avos, kamo shehizboya b'lshon az rabbi min ha'talmud, lo shehi mitzvah b'fnei atzma. The Rambam says Mora Rabcha is not an independent mitzvah. It's rather part of this general mitzvah of Kol Chachamim. How do you know that? Because Mora Rabcha is not something which is mefurish in Torah Shebuch Sav. Mora Rabcha is a drasha of Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Baran from Es Hashem Elokecha Tira L'Rabos. It's also a Kal V'chomer that if the father Sheivil Dechay Olam Haza, this covered in Mora, so then the Rebbe Shemevil Dechay Olam Haba, certainly so. But Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Baran, when a Chiyuv is derived from Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Baran, it never constitutes an independent mitzvah, minyan of mitzvahs. So Memela, that's what the Rambam says. Lo shehi mitzvah b'fnei atzma. Good, fine. What's l'chora very puzzling here is nicha that what's derived from Yud Gimel Midos purely. Again, there's no pasuk in the Torah that says fear your Rebbe. There's a pasuk that says es Hashem l'kicha tira l'rabos. There's no pasuk in the Torah that says have mora rabcha. There's a kal v'chomer from ova v'ima. Fine. So that doesn't constitute an independent mitzvah minyan mitzvahs. Maskin. That's what shorah sheni in the shorashim and sefer mitzvahs is about. But how does that mean that you can include it in the mitzvah of kovod chachamim? Kovod l'chud, mora l'chud. The upshot of the fact that it's not a separate mitzvah is that there are many, many chiyuvim, almost countless chiyuvim, which you take it don't find anywhere in minyan and mitzvahs. Where does it say in minyan and mitzvahs to respect achicha hagadol? What's the answer? It doesn't. Not every chiyuv is in minyan and mitzvahs. Chiyuvim which are derived, which are not psukim in the Torah, but are derived from midrash ha'atan and drashas b'hen. So they have the full force of daraisas. They're not minyan and mitzvahs. So the chora mora rabcha should be the same. How can you naniach that mitzvahs netilas lulav weren't a pasuk? They didn't have a pasuk kachlan chem bayom rishon. And the only way you knew mitzvahs lulav was some kind of kal v'chomer from achilas matzah. Well, if on Pesach you should commemorate what happened on Pesach, whatever. Fine. So then lulav wouldn't be a seven mitzvah minyan mitzvahs. It would be a chiyuv. It wouldn't be a seven mitzvah minyan mitzvahs, but it wouldn't occur to you to say, well, therefore, put it into the mitzvah of lulav. Why didn't you put it into the mitzvah of lulav? It's a different mitzvah. It's a different mitzvah. You can't strip it into mitzvah lulav, into mitzvah matzah. It's a different mitzvah. So isn't it kovod l'chud, mora l'chud? So what's the answer? The answer is that the Rambam knew from our Mishnah that that's not true. Why? What does it say in our Mishnah, Rabbi Elsai? Doesn't our Mishnah, Yihi kvod talmidcha chaviv alecha kichvod chavicha? What does that mean? We're talking about degrees, right? To what degree should a person cherish and be concerned and mindful of the covet of his talmidim? To the same degree that he would cherish and be mindful of the covet of his chaverim. Right? You might think, no, they're my talmidim, adrabba, but they owe me, I don't owe them, I don't have to be makpid on their covet. No, you should be makpid on the covet of your talmidim to the same degree you're makpid on the covet of your chavis. That makes sense, right? There's something which you would think is to a lesser degree, and you're telling me, no, you should do it to a higher degree. Mora Rabcha Gemara Shemaim, I also understand. I would have thought you should have so much Mora for the Rebbe, so much Mora Shemaim. No. The Mora should be the same degree. But how can you say that Kvod Chavercha should be Kamora Rabcha? Again, we're talking about a spectrum, right? Kvod chavercha should be, kvod talmidcha should be kvod chavercha. That's a spectrum. So I understand. You can. It's meaningful to say that. Mora v'abcha k'mora shemaim. You're talking about a spectrum of mora. So you can say mora v'abcha k'mora shemaim. How can you change from kvod to mora? So what do you see from our Mishnah, Rabbi Elsai? So you see clearly from our Mishnah that kavod and mora are one spectrum. They're not two different things. When understood correctly, kavod and mora are one spectrum, which is why, and only why, it's meaningful to say that kavod chavircha should be kamora rabcha. Because kavod and mora are one spectrum. But what does that mean? Kavod is honor, and mora is fear. That's not one spectrum. That's not one spectrum. The big guy with bulging muscles, whom I happened to meet in a dark alley at 11 o'clock at night and asked me if I have any spare change, I'm not necessarily overcome with tremendous feelings of COVID towards him, but I certainly have a lot of mora for him. Meidach gisa. There are a lot of people for whom I have deep and abiding respect, but I don't necessarily have any mora. So what does it mean that kavod and mora are on the same spectrum, that it's one continuum? So klar, that those translations are not adequate. Translating kavod as honor and mora as fear, you see from our mission that's not correct. You see from the Rambam that's not correct. The Rambam Sefer Mitzvahs. So what's the pshat? So apparently, mora, let's say honor and reverence are on one spectrum, right? Reverence is something which is a stronger form, a profounder form of honor. And even awe is really that as well. It's a profounder, it's a more profound, could be you just witnessed history. I'm not sure if there was a word profounder until a minute ago. It's a more profound form. Awe is a more profound form of reverence, which is a more profound form of honor, but it's taka one spectrum. And that's what you see in our Mishnah. If you can say that kvod chavecha should be kamora rabcha, it doesn't mean fear of the Rebbe. It means a reverence hyphen awe. That's on the same spectrum, on the same continuum as kavod. That's what you see in our Mishnah. Memela, the Rambam says, The derivations through Midrash Hatana Drashas Bohen, that there's a special din of Mora Rabcha, taka belongs in the mitzvah of Kavod Talmid Chachamim. Because it's also talking about Kavod. Albeit, again, Kavod in a more profound, in a stronger, in a deeper sense. Emma says that there's more to this than we've touched upon so far, but maybe we'll stop here for now. And Glinadur, maybe next week, and it's Hashem, we'll go a little bit more with this mission. Okay, everyone should be well, have a productive day, a good Shabbos for us. Be well, be safe.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you,
Rabbi. Can I ask a question?
Yeah, please. Who's talking?
So, David.
David, where are you?
Oh,
there you are. Okay. Hi,
David.
How are you? Okay.
I just wanted to ask Rabbi, so what does it mean that tshuva is a tris bifnei aharonos? If the tshuva itself is machaper, so then doesn't that mean that it itself is fixing? How can it be both? If it's achieving the kapara, then how is it just preventing these?
Why is it needed as a tris if you have kapara? So you're absolutely right. So the tshuva is a tris aharonos. Only for some things, so let's say chamuros. By chamuros, there's a need for a tris. But you're right. By an essay and by los, I say you won't need the tshuva to act in that capacity.
Okay, thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
So the Rambam that we were saying before, that the Rambam was saying how. When people do keep the Torah and the mitzvah, so Hashem facilitates us in this world, like to continue doing that. I guess I was wondering how that related to, I don't know, it's different than like the Gemara that says like that tzaddikim are often punished in this world for the sake of the next world. So it's...
So let's say much of the Mount of Adama. Parents are always looking to do as best they understand what's best for their children. Okay, and therefore they feed them, they bathe them when they're infants and small children and need help going to sleep, they put them to sleep, etc. Okay, on the one hand. On the other hand, periodically they take the child to this guy who wears a white coat, who pokes them, sticks needles in them, So how is that a consistent hanhaga? So the answer is that the truth is, on one level, it's not consistent. Meaning, on one level, the eating and the nurturing and the bathing is all very soothing and all feel and feels good. And the guy in the white coat who sticks the needles in their arm, it feels anything but good. So on one level, taka is not the same. But obviously, on a deeper level, it is the same. That sometimes doing what's good for the child involves that pain. The idach zel gmor.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay. Yeah, Brazil.
Hi, Rabbi. I was wondering, like, why we would need a pasuk to teach that need kiba avaim if there's a different pasuk that teaches that you need mora for avaim.
So that's part of what when I finish with. And also, well, to ask your question in a different way. But either way, it's very pointed. To ask your question in a different way, so then how is kibud and mora by other v'imo, how can they be two mitzvahs? If it's one continuum, and that's how mora v'abcha can be included in kavod talmid chacham, because it's just more intense, more profound. So then once you have a mitzvah of mora of v'aim, that should subsume kibud of v'aim. That's why you should come back next Thursday.
Okay. I also have to come back on Sunday.
Right, for yesterday's question. Okay. All right, so you're committed to at least 40% of next week. All right, we got maybe we'll leave out free coffee on Monday and we'll get you back Monday for that.
Okay, thank you, Rabbi. Have a good Shabbos.
You too, thank you. Okay, Rabbi said, be well, thank you.
Rabbi, can I ask one more question?
Please.
Okay. Just a technical question first. Is mora the same as yira?
It's the same. It's the same root. Yeah. I mean, mora is the what's in between the nouns mora and yira. That's an interesting question. Is there a difference between the two nouns mora and yira? Yeah, I don't know if there's a difference or if they're just synonyms. I don't know. That's a very good question. I don't know.
Okay. And I should have one other question. Regarding the Remeir, and we're saying that shiftless is also super important for Talmud Torah, for Kenyan Talmud Torah. So why would it be in between? Why wouldn't it just be first shiftless and then about Talmud Torah? Why is it sandwiched?
So it could be that for the reason that you're asking, Rabbeinu Yonah says differently than the pshat we suggested. Rabbeinu Yonah also says it's clear from the Mishnah that Rabbi Meir isn't, you know, just stam talking about shiftless as a midah tovah, but he's talking about it in context of Talmud Torah. But Rabbeinu Yonah addresses your question by saying that what Rabbi Meir means is, even if you're osik b'Torah and Baruch Hashem you have hatzlocha, Don't feel superior to anyone else. So that's how Rabbeinu Yonah, you know, addresses the sequence. What about according to the Mahalach we were suggesting? So, Enoch and Nami, you on one level, not only could you, but on one level, as you're correctly pointing out, maybe we even should have stipulated that first. But maybe what Rav Meir is also telling us by his placement of it is that Talmud Torah, on the one hand, yes, there's a prerequisite of v'nafshi ka'ofa l'kol tiyah, but Talmud Torah should also engender then even more shiftless. is that the more a person learns, so the more a person, A, the more refined his character should be, the more he realizes how little any person ever really knows. And Yitochen, that by mentioning it second, so maybe Reb Meir is has both of these ideas.
Thank you. Okay, we have a good Shabbos.
You too. Thank you.